Oh, good morning. Welcome to Stuttgart Harvest Church. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad that you're here this morning. If you don't know me very well, then let me tell you, I like bargains. I love a bargain. If it's cheap, I'm interested. I am so interested. I always look at the clearance aisles. I always check things out. I love flea markets. And even more than loving something that's a bargain, I love something that's free. If it's free, nothing's required of me. That's for me, right? I'm in. I'm all in. And so there's free. I do like that. But how about shortcuts? I also love shortcuts. I am always looking for a faster way to get to where I'm going. So at home in Malvern, I have figured out if I take this one specific street, it's 4 seconds closer to my house. I am not lying. And so if my wife happens to take the, because I have Life 360, I can see what road she takes. If she happens to take the other one, I'm thinking to myself, why is she taking the long route? 4 seconds, right? That's me. I love a faster route, an easier way to get there. I also love book summaries, right? I have read more than one copy of Cliff Notes back in the 1900s, back when that was your only source for summaries, when I was in high school. And then books like this. This is Mastering 100 Must Read Books, right? This is all about leadership, and it's just, there's 100 books in here in one, right? I love a book summary. Cliff Notes, book summaries. Give me the big idea and I can run with it. I can take that information. I can kind of fill in the gaps, right, as I go. I got the big idea. That's what I need. But sometimes cheap things that I get on Amazon or Walmart, sometimes they get me into trouble because they break, right? They don't last. They don't do the job, especially on Amazon, and you read the reviews. They don't. They say, oh, it's perfect, it's wonderful. They don't. They end up not doing the job the way they said it was going to do it. So I end up sending that back, right? So, and with shortcuts, sometimes they don't lead us to where we want to go. I have been trying to find for about a year now a new, faster route to my wife's job in Hot Springs. Every time I try to find a faster route, I'm like, I'm going to turn here. I get lost every time. I have not yet found that route. I have been getting lost in Hot Springs every time. And I know my way around Hot Springs, but not those roads. So sometimes a shortcut doesn't work. It doesn't take us where we want to go. And sometimes book summaries don't give us everything we need to know because they leave out so much. They leave out so much. Now, that might not be a catastrophe with the cheap Amazon product. That's no great loss, that little Chinese thing that breaks, right? It's no great loss. It's broken. It wasn't what we hoped, but it's no big deal because we haven't lost much since we paid so little for it. We don't worry about it too much. We don't value it. Now, that might not also be devastating with a shortcut. If it leads you to the wrong place, then you just backtrack to where you were and you get there another way. Not a big deal. And it's not all that critical with a book summary. Yes, you're going to miss some details and with the summary, but we kind of fill in those details, right, with our own thoughts. But even if those are wrong, we can always go back to the actual book, the real thing, and read the whole thing and get all the misinformation straightened out. Not a big deal. But what if it deals with your soul? What if it deals with your eternity? Which is something that has a very distinct timeline. It's a very specific period of time that has been allowed for you to get it right. And that time period has a very specific end only known to God. So in that case, getting it right while there's still time to get it right, it matters. Because what if you run out of time? What if you run out of time and you can't replace this cheap broken version with the real version? And what if you're too late to backtrack to get to the eternity that you want to get to? It's the eternity that some of your family members probably have already arrived. They got it right. But what if we hang on to this summary of what's important, and we hang on to our wrong assumptions and the wrong ways that we have actually filled in the blanks, and we miss our chance to go back and get it right? We miss our chance to do it over. We miss our chance to make a course correction. What then? And so I would say that's why this series is such a big deal. Because much of America has settled for something cheap. They've settled for a shortcut. They've settled for a summary. And by not having the complete truth, they're in danger of completely missing their eternity goal. So, what exactly did Americans get for cheap that was actually completely broken and useless? What is the shortcut that will use up all of your time and take you to the wrong destination with no time left to go back and choose a different route? Where have so many Americans settled for a summary which actually misses significant details, leaving them in danger? And here's the answer to that. It's one word, and the word is grace. Many have settled for an American version of grace, a cheap grace, a broken grace, and that cheap, broken grace changes nothing in our lives. And yet, that's what many of us have grown up with. We've lived our entire lives with that American version of grace, and yet we know something's missing, but we just can't figure out what's wrong. You see, America's cheap grace offers the forgiveness of sin without any repentance, without any transformation of the sinner. It's broken. It's a deadly grace. But Americans, we love it because it's easy, cheap, and free, so nothing's required of me. Now, we just completed a series last week that were related around the events of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It was the birth of his body here on earth. The church is what it's called. Now, maybe as we were going through that series, you noticed that the lives of those first members of parts of his church, how radically different those Christ followers were from what we see today in a Christ follower. Especially in America. You see, in the United States, it seems we have two extremes. And both of these extremes, they think too much of their own ideas and too little of his. Here's the first extreme. We have many church leaders who have, on this extreme, who have added their own rules and their own regulations and their own requirements for following Jesus. In fact, I was listening online to a pastor at a really big church in Little Rock, actually North Little Rock, and he was hammering about however many people were there, thousands of people probably, hammering because there were some people, some men in his church that had beards. And he was hammering them, saying that, is, you know, just he hammered, oh, it was so bad. And then he was saying, that is not apostolic, is what he was saying. And then I got to thinking, I was like, whoa, wait. I believe history probably tells us the disciples, all those apostles of Jesus, probably had beards, right? I'm just like, so anyway, we have churches who are adding and adding and adding to the requirements of what is required to follow Jesus. And so they kind of like take their own requirements, they nail them. It's their own personal reformation, and they nail them to the door, and they're like, this is what is required. This is what has to happen. These are our grievances. God, you didn't cover everything. We're adding this. This is our own list of rules of do's and don'ts, what to wear, what not to wear, and they nail them to heaven's door. Now, since the resurrection over 2 millennia ago, some churches have created this list of what must be done and what must not be done, and those lists have become too burdensome. Jesus called them a yoke, too burdensome, things he never even intended. Some of you grew up with churches like that, and as soon as you could, you jetted, you took off as soon as you were able. Now, I just would like to say, what a wonderful time of year for you to possibly, in your life, make a course correction during this season. This is March, April season. Everything we celebrate about this time of the year, it's wonderful. It's the death of Jesus, God, the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And it took place about 2,000 years ago. What an amazing time for you to maybe today even choose to make a course correction. Let's get back to his yoke, though, for just a moment. The yoke that Jesus is talking about. I want to read you a passage. Matthew chapter 11, we're quoting Jesus. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." And he's talking about those burdens that religious leaders have placed upon us. And I will, Jesus says, "I, though, will give you rest." And doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound what you're looking for? I certainly am. It's what we're all looking for, rest for our souls. He says, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you," he says, "is light." And it is his yoke, what he calls us to, that we're going to talk about today and then for the next 8 weeks. Let me go back very quickly to the two extremes. So we have this extreme where churches just add and add and add to the list of do's and don'ts, making religion this burdensome thing. And then we have this other extreme over here. So this extreme, they make the yoke, they make more of the yoke than Jesus made of it, right? He says, "My yoke is light." But then we have this extreme over here. And this extreme, many make the yoke less than the yoke of Jesus. More than the yoke of Jesus, less than the yoke of Jesus. But I do want to be very, very honest, because we're going to be right here teaching about what that yoke is. I want to be clear. What Jesus calls us to might seem heavy as we look at it over the next 8 weeks. And it would be heavy if it were left up to us to carry it. But he gives us the power and the strength to carry his yoke. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, he was between two sinners, murderers, thieves. And then at the foot of the cross, Jesus was surrounded by sinners. And heaped upon Jesus on the cross were the sins, all the sins of the past, the present, and the future of the entire world. Doubters, cowards, troublemakers, and a few followers were all at the foot of the cross the day Jesus died. And his forgiveness was for all of them and all their sins, and all the sins of the entire world, including us, were laid upon him there. And so when this Jesus, who died for all the sins of the world, calls to you and he calls to me saying, "Follow me," If we follow him, here's the question, where is he going to lead you? Where will he lead us? What is to come if we follow Jesus? What is his yoke? And it all starts right here. Jesus meets you with an all-inclusive grace. Not an American cheap grace. The truth is that it's the most free grace. At the same time, it's the most costly grace. And now the words of Jesus are going to help us understand this paradox. And according to Jesus, his grace, real grace, it produces something and it causes something. We're going to look at that. Let me read you. Here's where we are today in this passage. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Jesus is describing this, and it's a paradox. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure, a great value. Now, you do know that the value of something is set by how much someone is willing to pay for it. And the value of this treasure, God would pay for. And his payment, it would be his death. God paid himself. So first, how did he pay for it? The Son of God put on the flesh of his own creation. And he limited himself by becoming a human. And he still is to this day. That's quite a payment. But that's not all. The rest of the payment, God would pay with his own torture and his own death. Now, that is an all-inclusive grace. That's what that is. And he did that in your place. That is an all-inclusive grace. And he took on the payment of the sin payment for the entire world upon himself. That is a costly grace. Back to Jesus. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, pause here. Real grace, his grace, a costly grace, always produces something. Grace produces joy. Real grace allows us to see the real value, and joyfully, it's worth more than our all. It's a gift, and it replaces what we've been holding on to for our whole lives. It replaces it. It replaces our all. Because everything that comes with this gift from Jesus, we are able to walk away from our all, everything we've held tightly to, and we're even willing to joyfully accept the hardships that might even come along with this free gift. All for joy. Not out of a dread, not out of a sense of obligation, but Jesus says out of joy. Real grace produces something. It produces joy and excitement and delight. But it also causes something. Back to the story here. In his excitement, Jesus telling us this, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. So real grace, his costly grace, it produces joy, but it also causes something. It causes a response. In light of the extreme, ultimate value of the treasure of grace, no sacrifice is too great. So this man, Jesus says, if it's real, if it's his grace, he sold everything he owned. He let go of everything he was holding on to. That's one way to look at it. He let go of everything he was holding on to. He let go of his all-inclusive grace. That is an extravagant response to let go. He sold everything he had. But this extravagant response, according to Jesus, is the only proper response to his all-inclusive, extravagant grace. Now, Jesus is using this man to describe how his all-inclusive grace creates an all-inclusive response from the man. So in other words, Jesus takes his grace, all-inclusive, he takes his all-exclusive grace and he offers it to you. In order for that man to grab it, he has to let go of everything he's holding and he has to reach out and he has to grab that all-inclusive grace with his all-inclusive life. And he joyfully, Jesus said, he was selling everything he owns. And it's a picture of an all-inclusive surrender to Jesus. You see, there's an all-inclusive exchange at salvation. The old, all of the old, is exchanged for all his new. My old life, which is me living life my way over God's way, my choices over God's choices, all of that is exchanged for a new life of surrender, saying, Jesus, I am all in. God's way over my way in every way. And there's a word for that. The word is discipleship, followship. All-inclusive grace and all-inclusive discipleship are inseparable. Inseparable. His all-inclusive grace and you grabbing it with all-inclusive discipleship, inseparable. Grace and actually following Jesus, taking the steps to actually follow Jesus are inseparable because that is his call of grace. That is what it means when Jesus invites you to follow him. We're the sinner who joyfully gives up everything we have been holding on to in this life. We give it up, all those worthless things, while freely receiving all of his priceless things that God gives to us in Jesus Christ. The whole of our old life is worthless compared to the extravagant value of what we have in Christ. So of course, yes, of course, we would give up our old life. What we have to give up, in no way, us giving that up, in no way pays for our salvation. No, 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 no. Because what we give up is worthless. In fact, it's worse than worthless. God tells us in Isaiah 64, verse 6, he tells us that everything we have, our best that we are letting go of, our best that we are doing, all of that, it is filthy rags. And look up the meaning of that, and you will understand just how Jesus is saying, God is saying, it is worthless. And here's the problem, though. Over the centuries, in order to highlight the freeness of the gospel, many have denied the cost of salvation. We have denied the cost that it was to Christ, and we have denied the cost to us. We have turned the gospel into this. Oh, just agree with this. Just pray these words and claim your free ticket to heaven. And I would suggest that is cheap grace, and it offers forgiveness of sin with no need for that to change us in any way. No need for it to change our choices, our lives in any significant way. And it's not the costly exchange of God's real grace that he offers. Now, Jesus immediately makes the very same point with an additional story. Here's what he says. Verse 45, again, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. Now, in the first century, we think pearls, no big deal. In the first century, pearls were to us what diamonds are, okay? When he, verse 46, when he discovered a pearl of great value, in other words, so great, not just, oh, wow, that's nice. It was of great value, more valuable than all the other pearls put together. A pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and he bought it. One pearl whose value was far greater than anything he owned, he sold it. Now, that is all-inclusive grace. And once you have his all-inclusive grace, he offers it to you. All-inclusive. Once you take it, you don't need what you've been holding on to for security. You don't need what you've been chasing after for happiness. You don't need any of those things. Once you have it, you need nothing of what you have been holding on to. And it's a great paradox because salvation is free to me, completely. Yet, it cost me everything. It's a paradox. And Jesus does not hide from that paradox. He does not hide that from us, nor when he was walking on this earth, he doesn't hide it from his followers. Here's what he said. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. So his grace, real grace, produces joy, and grace causes us to leave all and follow Jesus. The treasure, the pearl, it's producing joy. And it's causing a response. This is according to Jesus. It's causing us to respond by walking away from everything we had been holding tightly to. Now, Jesus is using this parable to make a very clear distinction, a human divide. There will be those who see the extreme value of his treasure. And it will cause them to have an extreme response by giving up all of their old lives and following Jesus. But according to Jesus, most won't see his grace as more valuable than the lives that they want to live right now here on this earth that they're holding so tightly to. They won't see it more valuable. And so the path of following Jesus is described in the Christian scriptures as narrow. Now, it's not narrow because God has made it narrow, because all paths are determined and created by those that walk down those paths. It's narrow because fewer make the choice to travel that path. Because when they look at the two extremes, when they look at it, here's what they see. They see his all-inclusive grace, but they are not willing to have an all-inclusive response to Jesus. You see, some will see his grace and they'll respond with joy, and it's going to cause them then to be willing to exchange their lacking all for his perfect all. But some will look at his all-inclusive grace and they will never see the value, and they will simply walk away from it, grasping tightly to the life that they want to live, my way over God's way, and they hit the highway. Now, God knows how spiritually poor you are. He knows how spiritually poor I am. He knows how broken you are. He knows how broken I am. And God knows that your best will never be enough, and my best will never be enough. And God also knows what you have been holding tightly to and trusting instead of Him. And knowing how utterly broken we are, God offers to us His grace, all-inclusive. His grace, He offers it to every single person, no matter how poor, no matter how insignificant, no matter how sinful. And the price is the same for everyone. The price is all that they have been trusting, all of that old life they have been living and hanging on to. And according to Jesus, the heart that is genuinely turning to Christ and receiving His all-inclusive grace gladly exchanges his old life for the life of Christ. Do you see what Jesus is describing? Salvation is a totally free gift, but it always, without exception, produces in that grace-receiving life, it produces surrender. And many American churches might offer you cheap grace, but the results of cheap grace are no, pretty much zero life transformation. That's what American churches offer. But I want to tell you, that's not what Jesus offers. Jesus only offers all-inclusive grace. And when you receive it, He gets your all-inclusive life. As Christianity spread around the world, it slowly got diluted. The costliness of grace began to fade. And that very slight change in grace made it nothing of God's grace. Slowly, Christianity moved from God forgiving sin to God justifying sin. And if you only focus on the forgiveness of sin, it is going to lead to God justifying sin. And that is a cheap, broken grace. It is broken to the point that it is not His grace at all. But the whole truth is this: forgiveness of sin is always accompanied by the justification of the sinner. Justification is not of the sin, but of the sinner. Justification of the sinner is a process. There's another word for it: discipleship, fellowship. And it is all inclusive. It is this transformation of your life because of the all-inclusive grace that Jesus gives you. So, a question: how do you know if you have an American grace or if you have God's all-inclusive grace? And lean in. Here's the secret. The secret of real grace, all-inclusive grace, that's all He offers, is what it does. It transforms the life of a sinner every single time. And the evil one had only to do one thing, one subtle tiny thing, to make this all-inclusive grace, this one tiny, almost imperceptible change, to make it not God's grace. All he had to do was change the emphasis to get pastors and Christians and churches to change the focus, change the emphasis, only look at free grace. It is free. It cost nothing. But that's not the whole truth. Because this grace of Jesus was costly. It cost God. It cost God Himself. It was costly. And when received, it causes, every time it, if it's real, it causes something. It cost you your very life. And it continues to cost you your very life, that same price, every single day. You see, grace doesn't free you from having to follow Jesus. Grace does not give you the license to, oh, now I can continue to choose my way over God's way. No, no, no. Real grace is a costly grace, and it can only make you more intense as a disciple. If it's real, you begin to see, oh, no, 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 no. It is His way over my way, joyfully. And Jesus is clear. Grace and discipleship are inseparable. Because grace always causes something. So here's the big question for you today. Have you bought in to a cheap grace? Or do you understand grace the way Jesus did? And I want to be so clear. Grace alone can save you. But grace never stops there. Real grace won't allow you to stop there. With real, all-inclusive grace, all sin is forgiven, and always the sinner is transformed every day for the rest of their earthly life. Cheap grace justifies sin. Costly grace justifies the sinner. The sinner leaves, walks away from that, and begins to chase after to follow Jesus. It just causes it. And that's discipleship. And it's always the result of costly, real grace. Grace will never let me remain as I was before. Living in the world and looking like the world, being no different from the world around me is a cheap grace, and cheap grace allows for that. It requires nothing from us. We don't have to even really try to follow Christ with cheap grace. All we have to do is agree with this and pray that, and we got it, right? But it's broken and it's useless. If we truly receive His all-inclusive grace, it always causes us to do something next, and that is to begin following Jesus and His way. In 1937, before the majority of the Christians in Germany bowed and began to follow Hitler, Dietrich Bonhoeffer warned them, as he could now, gathered on us in America. Here's what he said. We have gathered like vultures round the carcass of cheap grace, and there we have drunk the poison which has killed the life of following Christ. And soon after that, all of Germany collapsed into the hands of Hitler. The impact was the waste of Germany. as it has now laid waste generally to the American church. All because of cheap grace available to you at low cost, if any cost, probably no cost. And cheap grace, instead of opening up the path, the way to Christ, instead of showing the way to Christ, it closes the door on the path to Christ. Because once someone has a hold of cheap grace, they think they're done. They can wrap it. I'm done. I've taken care of my eternity. I'm done. Now I can just go live my life how I want to live my life. It normalizes disobedience in lives and in the church. And disobedience, as I have learned in my own life, always hardens our heart against God. No wonder that this rampant version of American Christianity has left us the way it has. But happy are all who, excited are all who, joyful are all who discover that discipleship is a life that springs from His all-inclusive grace. So back to our closing question this morning. Have you bought into a cheap grace? Or do you understand that His all-inclusive grace, the way Jesus offers His grace, the only way Jesus offers His grace, is for you to be all-inclusive with your whole life, all in. That's what He offers. Let's pray. Jesus, Your all-inclusive grace, what You have offered us to take every bit of our sin and every bit of how we have chosen our way over Your way, of how we have lived the lives that we want to live and we have chased after, was what we desire and what we hope and what we want. All of that was sin, and every bit of it was cast upon You on the cross, and You joyfully endured the cross so that Your all-inclusive grace could allow me the opportunity to joyfully walk away from everything I had been holding on to in this life. And God, I pray that right now that there is someone in this room or someone listening online who is right now understanding that, and right now they are face to face with Your all-inclusive grace that offers to forgive every sin. And they are letting go of what they've been holding on to. They've been letting go of that relationship that they have been pursuing instead of You. They're letting go of that idea of success they've been pursuing instead of You. They're letting go of whatever has been their security. They are letting it go. Their own efforts, the way they've worked, the way they've tried to please You, the way they've tried to be better, to earn Your love, they're letting it go, and they're grasping the all-inclusive grace that You offer. And the result will be a life being transformed day by day by day, as they retain that attitude, I am all in with Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for saving a worthless person like me. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.